Welcome to Practical Wisdom Stories, Soul Searching. My name is Nikki Kloppbaum, your host, and our guest today is Corey Perlman. Welcome, Corey.
Hey, Nikki. Thanks for having me.
Corey is the author of Social Media Overload, and I thought it'd be really interesting to get his insight on right now to help us as we're all, you know, transitioning. Even if we're not on social media, we're virtual, and that's a big piece of our life. And how do we make connections despite social distancing? And social media is one of those ways. So maybe start off with how did you get into this as an area of expertise, Corey?
It's a while back in internet years. You know, it's like it's only been like 15 years, but in internet years, it feels like it's like 40. You know, it was back when like MySpace was popular, if that tells you anything. Tom was our first friend. Remember Tom on MySpace? He was our only friend to start with. I don't know if you remember that or not, but
I don't. Yeah. You're making me feel young. Okay.
He's actually on Facebook. Like, obviously he sold his company and now he like tours around and all that. But anyway, I digress. I got into this, I was working for General Motors and we were teaching internet marketing to car dealers. And my mentor at the time, and that kind of does bleed into the story, the childhood story you asked me to think about. He was presenting this information, and I was one of the interns in the back, and we were playing on AIM. And he said, "Hey, Corey, I need you to get up here and teach the program." And I was like, "What? Oh my God." You know, and so I ran up there and totally screwed it up. And then he had me do it again and again and again. And eventually it just became kind of what I did. And so then I wrote a book on the topic, and honestly, the rest is history. I never thought I would ever be in this industry or be a consultant or a speaker. But it was just one of those crazy experiences that brought me there. So,
and are there some like top tips that you know, obviously you normally have like an hour keynote, but if you were to bubble it down into a couple minutes, what would you say are some main things for us to improve our social media presence?
Yeah. So I would say some of the big kind of overarching ones that I talk about are like prioritizing the platform. So not feeling like the pressure that you have to be on all sites. Instead focus on a few and do them really well. So the question I typically ask, especially for people who are doing this for business, is where are your customers and prospects hanging out online? And then that determines the platforms that you want to prioritize. So, you know, the joke I typically make on stage is that, you know, the guy who I asked this question to was worrying about Snapchat, and he actually sells medical supplies to the elderly. And so we had this sort of moment where he's like, "Wait a second, do I need to be on Snapchat?" I was like, "No, you know, unless you want to be, it's certainly not where your audience is." So, sure. So prioritizing the platform is a big one. And then one that I'm asked all the time about is creating compelling content, you know, and just how do you get out of the mode of just kind of posting stuff just to post, and you're not getting any engagement, it's not moving the needle. My biggest answer to that is twofold. One is, really think about what your audience is interested in. And that's a Dale Carnegie principle. Talk in terms of the other people's interests, the other person's interests. So instead of self-promotion and product advertising and all that stuff, think about what they're truly interested in. What questions do you get all the time that you can answer to help them, even in the situations that we're in today with the pandemic and being at home? So really talking in terms of their interests. And then the other one real quick is video. I just think, just like we're doing right here, especially nowadays, video is a powerful platform for all social sites. And in the times that we're sitting at home and not being able to connect with each other, it's that much more important. So how can you use video more on social media to get your content across?
Great. Thank you. It's true. You know, even not being in person, there is that real life connection feel of, you know, looking in your eyes, hearing your voice, seeing facial expressions and all of that.
So important.
And yeah, so I wonder, you know, being a subject matter expert on this, what kind of either pushback you've gotten from the new Netflix series, The Social Dilemma?
Yeah, you know, I heard about it a lot, you know, and depending upon when you're watching this, I mean, it's going to be out there for a while. And I think there's a lot of people, there's a lot of buzz around it. And basically, it's that, you know, social media and the internet in general is just striving for our attention. And it's basically trying to monopolize or monetize people's attention, and both adults and children. and the negatives to that. And I think it's a powerful documentary. I think that in a nutshell, my feeling is that social media and the web in general has brought great things, you know, amazing things that we all know about, but it's also brought very tragic things and very troubling things. So in my belief in any of this kind of stuff is it's somewhere in the middle. If you use social media to excess, if you let your kids get on too young or without, you know, watching over them, and I'm not even there yet, but I promise you that I'm going to be all over it. It can get out of hand and it can be a very scary place. And as adults, if we're not careful, you hear that ding, you know, I think, and it happens to me, I my phone, like, I'll just like wander over to it and check an email. Like, I know I do that. And so consciously, you know, reminding ourselves that this can be a drug. And we have to be very careful with it. And it can be a tool or it can be a drug. And just being aware of that as we move forward. But definitely watch the movie and definitely find your way to making sure that you limit your time on some of these platforms for sure.
Yeah. And I think you're right. It's figuring out, like, you want it to be something that is, you know, productive and positive. And I don't know, like you said, kind of, you've spoken, I've heard your keynote before. And I remember at the time I did have a Twitter account and I just never posted anything and kind of didn't feel like it was very nice to, you know, I love, you know, LinkedIn is definitely because it's like, there's just more connections among people and there's less anonymity to say maybe mean things or whatever. So I think just trying to, like you said, you know, find out which ones resonate where your clients are and also just the platform that you like as well. So thank you for that. That's helped me to realize too, like, I love video because I'm normally in front of people versus, you know, I started, you know, writing some blogs and stuff and I just felt like that wasn't the right fit. So I think, you know, for our listeners to just try and figure out what is that right fit that, you know, maybe it's still going to be a stretch out of your comfort zone to go live or, you know, post something, but also like that it's that just a little bit outside where you still feel like, okay, this is, I'm in integrity and this is, something positive as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's key to be really comfortable with whatever platform you're using. So first of all, I would think about if people are thinking about, like I want to create more content, but I'm not sure like videos for me, like I'm a better writer, then that's great. The good news is podcasting, blogging and vlogging or video blogging are all equally, but all very important platforms. So whatever you feel most comfortable and how you portray yourself or want to put out your content is totally fine. There are some people who are killing it in the blogging world or killing it on the podcasting or doing really well on video. So definitely don't feel like you have to do one over the other. I would just try to figure out the one you're most comfortable with. And then, and you know this, Nikki, we've talked about this before, consistency. You know, your first Facebook Live or your first blog post is going to have crickets. No one's going to watch. No one's going to read. It's just the way it is. You know, you just got to keep going and keep pushing it. And slowly but surely, that audience, you know, will hopefully come, but it takes time.
Yeah, great. Thank you. One of the other things that I really respect about you is as professional as you are in your keynotes and conferences and your media presence, you're also really relatable, you know, that you show pictures of, you know, the father-daughter dance and that kind of a thing. So I guess maybe help us, you know, something I really believe in is that work-life connection. So where have you found that to be either helpful in business that you know, show up as a family man also, or, you know, what lessons from work have you taken to help you with your, you know, personal life and parenting?
I remember, Nikki, I was making this decision that I think we've all had to make with Facebook in particular, and that was whether or not to allow my work life to merge with my personal life, right? So we have all of our friends on Facebook, and then you get that business colleague and that type of thing. And this, for me, it was many years ago, but for some people, it may have been more recent. And it's a tough decision, and I get the pluses and minuses to it. But as I was thinking and I made the decision to mold them together, I remember getting this phone call from one of my largest clients. And first it was a text and he said, Corey, we need to chat. And I was like, uh-oh, you know, Nikki, when you get that text from your largest client, it makes you nervous. You know, I was like, oh gosh, what did I do?
Right.
So when he called me, he said, Corey, I specifically wanted to let you know how much I enjoy watching you be a dad on Facebook. Oh. And I was like, first of all, I was totally blown away. First of all, I was relieved that that was the reason he was calling. And second, you know, I was like, what? Like, it wasn't intentional. I just share, as you know, I just share stuff, right? And a lot of it has to do with me just swinging my kids or, you know, taking them on trips, or they have on my laptop or on my lap while I'm on my laptop or whatever the case may be. But over time, it created like this idea that, you know, and I don't think it's an idea, it's reality, that I really enjoy being a dad. And so I don't think that it will keep you from losing clients or not, you know, or stop getting fired from a job or something like that. But it does help that people know who you are as a person. If they know that you have a good work-life balance, if they know you're passionate about things other than work, and they're able to see that through your social, that's a good thing. It's an old adage back in, you know, the sales principles days in the 80s of people enjoy doing business with people they like. And you figure that stuff out on Facebook. So that was pretty neat. And so that's one of the reasons that I've enjoyed merging those two together. And then the other thing I'll just mention on that topic, Nikki, is just during the pandemic, there's been a lot of, obviously, it's been a tough time. It's a challenging time in many different ways. We're doing virtual schooling, you know, at home a lot. You know, people are losing their job. I mean, there's just a lot going on. But I try to think of the shining light in these dark moments. And when I hang up with you at the end of this, I get to run upstairs and spend time with my family. I'm spending more time with them today than ever before. And a lot of us are saying that. So I think it's important that we don't necessarily regret looking back and saying, I know it was a crappy circumstance, but it allowed me to spend more time with my family. And most of the time, that's a good thing.
So. Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, I'm a step ahead of you. You know, I've got a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old and, you know, gosh, empty nest is not that far away. And you know, my son going off to college in 2 years. So, you know, I really do. We think about this time now. I like the analogy I tell him whenever I'm like, hey, you know, let's play a board game and, you know, family night. And because like every day is family night. So it makes it more family night when we're actually playing a board game. But you know, I was like, I feel like I'm getting a full charge on my, you know, my phone. You get the 100% charge batteries. I feel like this time period is that for family time, you know, especially with, you know, a couple of years. So, you know, he's going to be going off to school and all that. So I'm like, oh, just, it's true. This time, for as challenging as it is, there's some really special moments as well.
It really is.
What other soul searching, you know, that's really the name of this podcast as well, is kind of that deeper thing too of like, gosh, you know, as we become more insightful or reflective or do that pause, I guess, what have you discovered either about yourself or life in these 6 months?
That's a really good question. Although I know in Dale Carnegie, you're not supposed to say that because they've all been good questions, but that makes you definitely think, you know, and I do know that my wife and I have talked about how we come to these situations. I think we've all learned how, what kind of a face we put on, if you will, or how we react to them. And in the beginning of this, I turned into like a super action, you know, motivated, you know, I kind of like almost like back in the day when I was like writing my first book or, you know, like no income coming in, got hungry again, you know, and I really liked that, you know? And so I found an energy that I got, in the beginning when we started losing clients, you know, and the speaking world stopped and everybody kind of had those moments. And it turned me into kind of like a back in my entrepreneurial days. And I liked that. My wife did too, you know, and I want to channel that energy. I don't want to keep losing clients and I don't want this to continue on for years to come, but I want to keep the energy and the motivation that it kind of brought in me when it happened. So that was one thing that was kind of surprising and in some ways fun. And then the other thing that it's taught me, if you will, is, how important connection is. And I would have given myself a really low grade, especially in the professional world, of connecting with my clients. We have always been a virtual company. We don't see our clients. Nikki, I see you maybe in normal times once a year, maybe twice a year. So it can be easy to not see each other for years. And that's not good enough, you know? And so what this has taught me is the importance of finding time, doing huddles, making sure that we're at least virtually connecting with our clients in the business side to make sure that they know that we care about them. Very quickly, you mentioned this is story driven. When this first started, the accountant that I had at the time, we were going through the PPP loan and trying to figure out all that stuff. And I got one blanket email from them. Hey, you know, fellow clients, you know, and it was this whole thing. Okay. And nothing else. And then my bank, my very large bank, PNC Bank, one of the largest banks in the country, the branch here in Roswell, Georgia, calls me up out of the blue, calls me. And I, you know, I answered it and I was like, you know, he's like, hey, it's Mike, you know, from PNC Bank. Hey, Mike, how you doing? Good, Corey. I wanted to check on you. First of all, how are you doing? How's your family doing?
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, thanks for asking. He's like, I got to imagine this is a complicated time. I'm not selling you anything. I'm not asking you to, I just want to know, you know, you got anything that I might be able to help you? I was like, funny you should ask. I'm confused as heck with this PPP loan thing. Okay, perfect. Let me support you on that. Let me help you. And they did. So I tell that story. I don't have that accountant anymore.
Right.
But I tell the story about the PNC guy, you know, on stage and anywhere I can. So the point of that was, again, connection and making sure that we're finding ways to let our clients and our friends and anyone else know that we care about them.
Oh, good. Well, that's really how this podcast came about is I've got these 10,000 graduates that took the Dale Carnegie course with me. And I remember Mrs. Carnegie at one point at a convention had said, you know, don't love them and leave them, you know, once they take the course, you know, so this is really meant to be, gosh, how do I keep giving them value? And I also think about the people who took it with me maybe 10 years ago that I, how many books I've read and things I've learned since then and, you know, fine tune the class. So it's like kind of giving nuggets. And I think one of those a lot of my clients have is parenting. And I think this is a really tough time, especially, you know, when you've got littler kids and trying to work, you know, while there's chaos at home and all of that. So I guess, you know, that's one of the things is trying to give value for life lessons and especially in parenting. So what would you say is a best practice or maybe your favorite principle?
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite Dale Carnegie. I giggle a little bit because it's today was not a very good day to answer that question.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't admit
mistakes. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Admit mistakes emphatically and quickly. I made some mistakes today. I already apologized for those to my daughter, Talia. So, you know, I mean, it's interesting to take.
Well, now we have to know what is it? What happened today?
Well, you know, I was angry, you know, they weren't doing well on school and then I came upstairs to pretty much yell at them and she scared me. She went, ah, and she scared me and I got really angry, unusually angry. Yeah. I think I was hangry too. Okay. So after I took some time and she was really upset and all that, but what I did was I brought her aside and I said, I'm really sorry. Like, it doesn't matter what you did. Daddy, that was not normal daddy. And I am really, really sorry about that. And so I want her to know as my daughter to model the fact that I make mistakes and B, it is not okay to yell or scream at her, or raise my voice or dare I say even put my hands on her. And I want her to know that, you know, very, very clearly, because I'm the first relationship she's going to have with a man, you know? So I will be upset and she will do things wrong and all that, but that doesn't mean that I want to react in that kind of way. So that's what happened today. So yeah, that would be the Dale Carnegie principle.
That phrase where you said not normal daddy, you know? Okay.
Yeah. So
that's like, it helps to limit it to like, this was one choice I made. Can we start over?
Yeah. And apologize. And I could tell like it warmed her soul to know that daddy screwed up, you know, but it's okay to come back. We're not perfect moms and dads. You know, this is a really hard time.
Yeah.
Give yourself a ton of grace too. Like, you know, you may not dwell on it, but these are times that we're going to look back on 15 years from now and talk about over glasses of wine and champagne and beer. So, give yourself grace and remind yourself that you're in the thick of it right now and allow yourself to, and then the last thing I'll say, which is my dad would tell me is, humor. Make sure you laugh. Make sure that you have time with people that make you laugh and enjoy those moments and, you know, smile as much as you possibly can, as Mr. Carnegie would say, because that will also, that's a huge medicine to getting through this crazy time.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. A lot of times when I do yoga, I kind of practice a little thing, but especially with parenting, I think about the three P's. So I'm present, playful and patient. Like, those are the things I really try to foster. But, you know, I think there is something to that idea of just having fun, being playful, joking around, and, you know, certainly that's a great way to relate to them. Yeah. And did you, well, you kind of started with that first one, but you're to talk about like how you became this way, or, you know, one of the strengths and qualities that you have when you reflect about your own childhood. You started to mention a little bit about your dad, but what's a story that comes to mind that was really a defining moment in shaping your character?
Well, I was thinking about that when you asked me that question. I mean, the one that came to mind that I did think about was just, I think we've all kind of had those moments where people doubted us. And I just remember a specific thing in college where, and I wrote about this in my first book, where a professor of mine, we were asked to get letters of recommendation for graduate school. And not only did he write a recommendation, but he actually wrote one to recommend me to not go to graduate school. In other words, it was not a recommendation. Okay. And so it was really hard on me. But what I did with that is it just fueled me to do the best I can and work as hard as I could. And then fast forward a few years later in graduate school, we got to do this project with General Motors for XM satellite radio. And he got to see the presentation because he was friends with another professor of mine. We were in a car together and he turned around to me and he said, "I'm really proud of you." And I just looked at him and it was a moment where I had a chance to be like, well, you know,
yeah, and I just, revenge. You know,
yeah. But I just said, thank you. You know, that really means a lot. And it just, you know, I don't know. I'll never forget that, you know? And so I think the critics can fuel us as much as, you know, the people that are, you know, are supporting us, whatever the case may be, but that was a life defining moment for me for sure.
Terrific. Well, I think that can relate so well to back to social media, as well as, you know, that for as many likes or good comments we have, you know, somebody else might say, "Hey, the audio is not great," or, you know, "Hey, you need better lighting," or whatever it is, you know, that it's easy to take some of those things, especially, you know, take it to heart, especially when we're first getting started, or if, you know, somebody's writing a blog, you know, or something like that, and somebody comments on the grammar. But it's like, okay, you know, how do we let that go and kind of put that into the statistical average? And, you know, how do we, I think, also just kind of tap back into, okay, why am I doing this? I'm doing this to help people. And, you know, if 90% of them liked it, then great, you know, to try to use that as that reassurance. So,
yes.
Well, and if you were to package up, you know, maybe either to your kids or this audience, you know, this like practical wisdom, you know, what would you say is kind of either a mantra that sticks with you, or, you know, advice that you really believe in?
That is a good question too. First of all, I like this podcast. I think it's good to talk about these things, because we can so easily get on like business tips and such that we forget that there's bigger things in life to that.
That's like the human being, you know.
Yeah.
And we, you know, of course we have to work too, but it's
like, yeah. Yeah. I you know, and I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound like I'm, you know, sucking up to you or whatever, but, you know, the Dale Carnegie course, I took it back in 2002. And it was right after my mom had passed away. I was a young man. I was very lost and, you know, troubled and just didn't have a lot of direction. And it was just such a valuable experience for me in so many different ways. And it's not just personally, it's professionally too. Equally, that's what's so beautiful about that experience, is that, you know, I learned how to present, which has helped me so well in public forums and such, but I also learned a ton of just how to be a better human being, all the EQ stuff, you know. But one story in particular, I just remember, that just puts a nutshell of your family that becomes your Dale Carnegie class, is I was in Michigan. It was my first winter there. And I was speaking on something, and I happened to make the comment that I said, "I suck at this winter stuff. I have a terrible coat and I clearly don't have the right blanket materials. I'm always freezing at night. I have money. I'm not saying that I can't afford these things. I just didn't know what to get, you know." And I think I said this the next week, I had 3 coats that were brought to me from my Carnegie course and 4 comforters.
Wow.
Literally, like, they brought them to me. It was just the most crazy thing, you know, but it was like people just supporting and helping and just being cool human beings. So I'll never forget that. But so it doesn't really answer your question, Nikki, but I am just a humongous supporter of what you and so many others have done for people within the Dale Carnegie world. So thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, I think a big piece too that I see in you as strength is, you know, being willing to be vulnerable. Maybe that's ask for help or to say when we're not okay. I think that's one of the problems maybe on LinkedIn and work is like we have to show up all the time and pretend everything's fine when we're not. And, you know, that's kind of one of the reasons I like this is like, okay, you know, we're wholehearted, you know, there's a lot of different facets of us. So for you to be vulnerable and ask for help or ask for advice, but then also to receive it, you know, people did give you coats and blankets and tips that you follow it. I think that's the other half of, you know, there's the giving and the receiving piece of it to, you know, let other people feel the joy of being a good person and helping you, you know, that all those that's people right. who brought you blankets and coats probably went home to their families and was like, God, I feel so good. I, you know, did a good deed today. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. Don't let your ego get in the way of receiving advice if that you've asked, especially if you've asked for it or receiving help.
Yeah.
You know, and you mentioned it on the flip side, you know, when you mentioned that the kind of the negative news and such, you know, I always say, don't take the advice from people. I don't always say this. I have heard this. I didn't like it. Right. Don't take advice from people who haven't earned the right to give it to you. So, you know, it's like I take advice from people who I've seen on stage and I love on stage mm-hmm. or who I just think are great human beings, you know, and Dale Carnegie is a great example. Mm-hmm. I've taken most of my professional speaking advice from Dale Carnegie instructors because I love what you all look like on stage. Mm-hmm. You know, at the same token, if an attendee comes up out of the blue and says something to you, you know, in the wrong moment, you know, you discard that because it wasn't that was they didn't yeah. earn the right to give you that.
Well, and I've heard kind of something similar is don't be hurt or offended by somebody's criticism if you wouldn't ask them for advice.
Yeah, that's
you know,
so exactly
I think
right.
that's true. It's like, you know, not let in, maybe it's the earn the right, you know, not let somebody hurt you that you wouldn't go to for advice to begin with. So I think that that's right. kind of help us be like, okay, you know, and how do we kind of let things go and to keep that source of confidence so that we can put content and we can serve our clients and we have the courage to like your banker to say, hey, how are you doing? You know, and even that, you know, it's like making those personal connections if we haven't done them is those are the things that can be like, is this the right thing to do? And just to lean into the slightly uncomfortable moments that have a huge payoff.
So. Yes.
Corey, thank you so much. You guys check out Social Media Overload. Corey Perlman, thank you again so much for joining the show.
Oh, it was my pleasure.